Education and healthcare reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Jay Mickelson has been a teacher at T.F. Riggs High School in Pierre for 49 years. Raised on a dairy farm near McLaughlin, South Dakota, Mickelson has influenced thousands of students and helped shape their futures. Tonight at 7 p.m., the community gathers to celebrate his career as one of the region's most popular teachers is set to retire. Jay Mickelson joins us on the phone now. Mr. Mickelson, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. It's great to be with you.
How was your last day of classes? Tell us what that was like for you.
An interesting thing. I got all done Thursday with a brand new class I was teaching this year, U.S. History, for juniors. And I had just finished all of my grades, and it was 6:10 at night, and I wanted to be done. And the entire state computer system for grading was down.
Oh, no.
And so I got to, it didn't come up, it went down, I think, about 4 in the afternoon and didn't come back until 4 in the morning. So
that was your fault then, probably not.
it must have been my fault. I had a colleague who said that technology always works. It's only the operator's fault. Well, I tend to disagree with her.
The state just wasn't ready to let you go. It was such a seismic
like that.
Event that they decided to pause to honor.
Yes. And and I got to be with the kids yesterday at their graduation because I happen to be this year a senior advisor. So it never ended, I guess.
Tell us how it began. How did you get started in education?
Well, I remember at the age of 3, I can show you the place at Nearmo Bridge where we were in the road, and I was standing in the back seat of the car. Of course, in those days, no children's seats. And my aunt said, "Well, Jay, what are you going to do when you grow up?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to be a preacher or a teacher." And so it started at the age of 3, and I remember going through grade school and thinking while I'm watching the teacher work, that was not the right question to ask. I would do it this way. And I did that all the way through high school, university, and then I came to Pierre.
Wow, at the age of 3, and that must, I mean, you haven't even been to school at that point, and you're already thinking, as an adult, can you decide, can you sort of figure out where that came from?
My grandmother, my mother's mother, Kathleen Idem, was a teacher in a rural school. She had a 2-year degree, and I remember visiting her school and being in a little teach ridge out behind. I remember that. And then she had all the school books, so I wanted to read them, and she taught me cursive and those kinds of things.
And from an early age, you're thinking not just about who the teacher is and connecting with, you know, many of us connect with our teachers as human beings, and there's a beloved teacher. You're thinking about the the methodology. You're thinking about education at a really in-depth way. That had to be a huge advantage for you, because most people don't really start thinking about that side of education until they're at the college level studying to be teachers themselves.
Yes, and so many of my students are going, "Mr. Mickelson, I just don't know what I want to do. And I said, "You know, I can't sympathize with you because I have always known. I have always known. You'll figure it out, but I can't have sympathy in that way or empathy or whatever with you for that, because I've always known that this is what I wanted to do."
And the first classroom that was ever yours, tell me about that.
The first classroom. Well, it was here in Pierre. 1970, the first day of April, I became a practice teacher in German and in Latin. My future wife was my German supervising teacher. And Bev and I had known each other at university, and she had gotten a job here in Pier in German. And so I was with her and Mrs. Heck, and taught Latin too and German too, and that was fine. And then when I came back to the university to work on my first year of teaching was actually there at USD, and I taught Latin 1 and scientific and technical terminology there at USD. And so I guess that was my first real classroom that was mine. And a statue of Diana at Old East Hall and Dr. Beatty down the street. And this was a fantastic experience there. And it was just good all the way around. Then I came to Pier, and I think I had 5 classrooms that first year, and I carried all of my materials in one of those paper boxes where you print your paper off of.
Sure.
And, and so I and 2 schools. I was at junior high and at Riggs, traveling between the classes all those times.
You had to see, staying in a community like Pier for as long as you did, you have to see generations of, you know, you taught the parents, you taught the kids. How often was that the case?
So many of them. So many parents are coming for the little celebration tonight with their children. I have taught grandchildren of my first students.
And does the apple fall far from the tree? Have you can you pick them out? What is unique about teaching in Pier? I'm thinking of just the outdoor culture and how many kids on a certain day might be longing to be doing something outside, and then also the state legislative sort of culture around Pier. Tell me a little bit about teaching in Pier. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, when you have the governor's children that you see every day in class, or teach one of our current senator's children, you know, or some more, and the family here, it's been very good. Luckily for Bev and me, Bev was from Winter, I was from Mobridge, McLaughlin, and so it was a central place so we could visit grandparents and things like that. And we became very involved in the Methodist Church. That's where the concert is tonight. And we just became involved in the community.
You were able then to watch how South Dakota, you know, different secretaries of education, different philosophies of education. Tell me a little bit about how education in South Dakota is changed, and that's, you know, too broad of a question. So let's narrow it down to, could you notice a difference when a new governor, a new education secretary came in? Was it always sort of a predictable, yep, things are about to change?
Well, things are about to change to get back to being the same thing. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Well, let's try this new thing, and let's try this new style, and just let us get back to doing what we know that kids need, and we know that they need to know these things and ideas and how to think and be human beings and be engaged in society. But yes, the different education secretaries we had new ideas that would come in, and then the secretary would change, so we had new ideas coming in, but they all ended up pretty much being the same thing, in that let's do the best that we can for kids.
Right. How do you teach kids to think? Tell us a little bit about what that looks like in practice.
What does that look like in practice? Well, this in the last year and a half, had a brand new course on modern American history. So from President Kennedy till the current resident of the White House, and trying to get kids, look at what's happening now. It happened before, or we're still dealing with that. And then sometimes the aha moment goes on. Or in Latin, oh, that's what a direct object is. Yes, now you can speak intelligently, please. Now you can write with beauty. Look at what Cicero did. Why do you have 3 points in your speech? A Ciceronian third. Oh, it's only 100 years before Christ, you know. And try to get them to realize that we human beings, good heavens, we love some of the same music. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way for 1,000 years. And we can read the same literature. And, oh, it means something right now, doesn't it? Yeah. It can relate to what we're doing today as human beings.
Do you teach compassion and kindness through, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, so much of the stories we do on this show, people are talking about bullying and cyberbullying and things that have, some things never change, but the methodology changes. Tell me a little bit how you approach that, teaching them how to be a human being. Kids spend so much time in school, in a classroom, that it's an opportunity for you as a teacher to infuse values as well. How did you approach that as an educator?
Sometimes it comes down to a sharp rebuke of act civilized. we don't do that here. That's not what this is about. And trying to get kids to recognize bullying in the news and how we can, well, interestingly enough, my last Monday, there was a major knockdown, drag-out fight outside of my classroom.
Oh, no.
So I haven't had to break up one of those for years. But
there it is, yeah.
But, I mean, it is there. There's no doubt about it. Kids are doing it. Kids are doing it just like they had. But the one thing over the years that I have noticed in our approach to special education, mm-hmm. and I believe public television is doing something, or public radio is doing something about the Redfield experience, et cetera, isn't it?
Yep, the Leaving Redfield documentary, yeah.
Yes, yes. And when I began, there was only an ungraded classroom. And now what we are experiencing is that my kids who are having emotional or intellectual difficulties, they are in my classroom. We have kids accepting them, dealing in a much more beautiful way than we did at the beginning of my career. Mm. And my colleagues in special education are so incredibly gifted, and their aides are so helpful, and these young people are having a wonderful advantage of learning how to deal with mainstream society, and it's a great thing. The bullying, we've got things up all the time, posters, et cetera, about be kind, don't be mean behind the screen. It's in front of us all the time, and yet we're trying to get kids to think about it too.
Yeah. You have so many accomplishments and awards and fellowships. You're a Fulbright Exchange teacher. You were a semifinalist for South Dakota's nomination for NASA's Teacher in Space program. You did a grantee for a summer study in Rome. Throughout your career, so many different opportunities and accolades, but I'm wondering at this point, as you look at your retirement, what are you proudest of? What do you look back and say, well, I got that right?
Well, I'm sitting at my desk right now, and in front of me is some sweet grass, a couple of eagle's feathers, some sage, an American flag in a tricorn position, two highway patrol license plates and shoulder patches from students and people whose lives have been with me on Veterans Day. We've developed a beautiful Veterans Day program here in Pierre. Tonight there's going to be an honoring song. But of those accolades, I was just looking and kind of, what are my rewards in teaching? Well, one of my boys, standing next to Pope John Paul II, introducing young American candidates for the priesthood, the straight-A pupil quietly asking after class, "Mr. Mick, I think I'm starting tonight for varsity basketball. Can you be there?" My student with cerebral palsy who cannot communicate with words, having tears streaming down his face when I read the World War I poem by Wilfred Owen about dying in a gas attack. And one of my girls saying, "You seem to like me and give me hugs when I didn't know if I even liked myself. It was you that got me through high school." Those are the great rewards. And yeah, I've got doctors, lawyers, politicians, waiters, teachers, and mothers, and hotel managers. But however, pulling a calf with one of your former pupils and watching it draw its first breath of life together, yeah, what a rush. What a rush.
Mr. Jay Mickelson, thank you so much for making me cry and for 49 years of service to the folks of South Dakota and of Pierre. We really appreciate and honor your work as a teacher. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.